This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for it's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and man, do we have one hell of an epic guest this week. My good friend, Mrs. Sarah Price, also Four Wheel Parts teammate, also share sponsorship there with Impact Race Products, as well as now Super ATV, who's come on board on the podcast and on the national radio show and on my race programs, as well as Polaris Razor. I don't know, Sarah Price and I, she's been my co-host quite a few different times at events, and a very close personal friend of mine, and stoked to have her on the show. You know, I did one that was in depth with her on Project Action, an interview over an hour long. We've had her on the national show countless times for shorter interviews. This one, we kind of shake things up and go a different direction with the interview, talking about her great run in Baja, but just kind of culture in general and off-road. And I don't know, it's one of those kind of went all over the place. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. It's a version of Sarah Price you don't get to hear very often. So stoked to have that. Thank you guys, for coming, tuning into the show. If you're looking for full Baja coverage, best place to do that would be check out this week's national radio show, because, this podcast, I like to do long-form interviews here on the Four Wheel Parts Off-Road Edition. So, it's like, with the results and that, like I covered on the national show, like, I don't know. You guys tell me on social media, at JimBeaver15, if you kind of like the redundancy of it. And to me, like, I like to keep it fresh. I like all my shows to have some different types of content. So I keep the results over there, keep the badass interviews over here. Not to say that my other two shows don't have badass interviews, but you know what I'm saying. Anyways, yes, check me out. Subscribe over there on iTunes to the Down and Dirty Show. If you do that, you're going to get both shows, both the Off-Road Edition brought to you by Four Wheel Parts and the National Show brought to you by Polaris Razors. So check me out over there on social media. And and on iTunes. And think you guys are going to like what you get. Talking about social media, it's at JimBeaver15. On all forms of social media. Also have at Down and Dirty Show on Instagram and at Dirt Daily Media on Instagram. Got three Instagram accounts now. What the hell am I thinking? I know, right? But yes, Baja 500 went down. Epic event. We got full coverage over there on the national show and on the website. Do have to give a shout out to my boy, Craig Scanlon. Big win for him in Pro Turbo UTV, or I guess Forced Induction as Score calls it. Big victory for him. And also got to give a shout out to my friend Andy McMillan. We're not going to have him on one of the shows this week because honestly, we just interviewed him a few days ago after his big San Felipe win. So we're going to give him a little bit of a break. If he keeps his streak up, I can guarantee you we're going to have him on after Vegas Torino, or quote unquote the Baja 400. That's what they're calling it, I believe. So anyways, fun show today with Sarah Price. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you ever have any suggestions on guests, people you'd like to hear, please hit me up. Let me know on social media or the website, downanddirtyshow.com. If you are a rally fan, I know there's some of you out there that listen to my shows. Check it out. We did a full e-magazine for the ARX kickoff this weekend. I know it's not quote-unquote off-road, but kind of. So anyways, check that out over on the website. And I guess with that, man, instead of me rambling on, I got like an hour long with Sarah Price to give you guys. Like, why am I standing here, just talking about nonsense, right? You want to get on with the good stuff. So we're going to take a short commercial break, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to get on with the good stuff. That means Sarah Price on the line right here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris RZR brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris RZR because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team RZR because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris RZR because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRZR.com or follow at Polaris RZR on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RZRLife to share your story. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in. All right, I'd like to welcome my guest, one of my guests this week, to the Foil Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, as well as the national show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. Got, I guess, my RZR, Super ATV, and Four Wheel Parts, and Impact teammate, Sarah Price. I kind of like that. Like, you and I have all these, like, mashups going on, Sarah Price.
We do. I know. I was actually just looking at your banner, and I was like, I'm so stoked that Four Wheel Parts came on board, like, it doesn't get better than that company and the people that run it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because it's like old home week for me and, like, for you because, you know, Craig went there and then Joey D went there and now Jason DeFuchs is there. And I'm like, man, I have, like, all these people are phenomenal, like some of my favorite people in the industry. And then they all land at Four Wheel Parts and, you know, and it's kind of cool. And I know we'll talk about your relationship with them because you're even more expanded than me. They came on as title sponsor of my podcast and then kind of associate sponsor of everything else. But, like, I feel like I just hit the ground running. Like, we all knew each other. We knew what we do. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't like we had to feel each other out, you know, because we had that built-in relationship. And I feel like with you, like, was this kind of the same thing? Like, your deal was announced, and it was like, boom, you guys were off and running.
Yeah, no, they're awesome. I was super thankful that they believed in, you know, what I wanted to pursue this year. And they kind of wanted to get me up on off my feet to make a big impact this year. And so they gave me the tools to do that. And yeah, like I said, everyone's always mix and match and they come from everywhere in the industry. And once Craig kind of went in that direction, you know, he had his people as well kind of go in tow. And, you know, even Rusty Baptist is
yeah,
over there.
I saw it. Rusty's there too. Yeah. Like just good people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the best people, and you have a family, and you have a ton of great, amazing people in your corner, and that's all you can really ask for when you get sponsorship like that, because, you know, it's not always about business. It's also about having your race family.
Yeah, well, and I know, like, I know with Joey D, like, I've already been pitching him ideas, you know, just like, hey, let's do this. Like, I've got a new Raptor coming in. Joey, let's do a build on this thing. Like, you know, and like, hey, here's an influencer. We should, you know, we should tie up with them or this and that. Like, and he's all ears like, yes, let's go. Let's do this. You know, and it's like, I love companies like that, that they think out of the box. Like, you can pitch these wild hair ideas at them. And, you know, and they don't think, man, this guy's crazy. Like, they're like, all right, yeah, I think we can work with this. You know, and I feel like I've got that vibe from Foil Parts. And I love working with companies like that because I'm always got these like pipe dream crazy ideas, you know. And I honestly, some people look at me and they're like, God, this guy's batshit crazy. And I can actually say this because it's a podcast, but you know what I mean, like Joey and Craig, they don't, you know, they're just like, yeah, we get it, let's roll with this, you know.
Yeah, that was really cool. Joey's always like, he's like the hype man, he's always down for anything, he always has the most crazy ideas. Yeah. Like, he just called me and he wants to do like a promo at one of the stores tomorrow, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna be painting cars all day, you know, I'm not gonna really have much time to get ready to look like presentable. And he goes, well, why don't we just keep you in your race suit like you just got stuck at the border? I was like, okay. Like, but that's just, it's rad. It's just cool to make it happen. And, you know, the funny ideas and the cool ideas we come up with. But, yeah, you got to appreciate people like that who actually have the passion and drive and want to try new things and do new things and aren't afraid to take risks.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and it was... Yeah, Joey, the hype man. I've never even thought about that before. I'm like, he's like off-road's Don King. Like, he's going to hype it up. And he did that with UTVs, though.
He might hate me for saying that, but...
No, I think that's like, honestly, it's a form of endearment because we all love Joey. And no, but it's the truth. He did that with UTVs. I mean, you know, you look back at what he did in the beginning. Like, let's face it, when they first came out, nobody cared about UTVs. I mean, you know, they're quote-unquote golf carts, right? Nobody cared. Joey made them care. You know, it was just like he was the hype man. He's like, hey, we got – you know, he was just – he just kept talking until people started listening, you know?
Yep. He's done really well for himself. So I'm pretty proud of Joey, actually, because I've seen him from the very beginning of most of it.
Yeah, you know, and I know he and I kind of got, he was a year prior to me kind of starting this, and like we kind of, we've talked about it, we kind of ran parallels, you know, with the growth of UTV Underground and the growth of, you know, my whatever the hell I've got now, media company, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, and it's like, and we also talk about the ones that started out and then never got off the ground, you know, and it was just... Like, there's just, you know, there's a sweat equity that goes into it, you know, and Joey knows that, and he earned his place, you know, and I think you're for one, too, though. Like, I look at what you've done, you know, and you know, transitioning from bikes to four wheels, and, you know, and even with your business, you know, that you kind of mentioned, your paint business, like, it's sweat equity. Like, you've hustled, you know, you didn't allow yourself to fail, Sarah.
Yeah, I just reinvented myself every chance I could get. You know, motocross was my whole childhood and I dedicated my entire life to it. And then when that kind of failed and there wasn't really a light at the end of the tunnel, I was like, oh no, like what do I do with myself? And then I created my paint business and started doing touch up on cars, and then I could fund myself to race side by sides. And then one thing led to another, and then I was in the truck, and you know, then I had my business still, and then I was in a trophy truck with Clyde Stacy and RPM, and it's really just been a crazy journey, and I'm so thankful for so much, you know. And on the side of all the racing and my paint business, I'm also a stunt woman, and stunts this last year has really picked up for me, and I couldn't be more happy about that. And yeah, it's crazy. I also expanded my business, and I now have 7 girls, and all 7 girls who paint cars, they're all racers or in the racing industry of some sort. So it's pretty cool to share that and be able to help them kind of provide themselves with the future as well.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something back there, and I know, like, I've actually had this conversation very recently with some people, and I was telling my story on somebody else's show, and you talked about reinventing yourself. And I think that's like a key, especially in this industry, you know, and like you, you know, especially as like a professional dirt bike rider, like, you know, Jolene was really fortunate, you know, that Nitro Circus came along. And I know you and I are both very, very close to Joe. But like you, I mean, it was in an early age where you had to reinvent yourself. But even talking about that, like every year or two, you know, you've reinvented yourself, not necessarily like creating an all new Sarah Price, But, you know, you look at things, you're like, all right, where am I at? Where do I need to go? What's happening in this industry? What do I need to know? You know, and I feel like you've done a good job of that. I look at myself back 15 years and see what I've done, you know, and I think, you know, another one's like Joey, you know, but I think every single year we're assessing the situation and where we're at and where we need to go, because we all know, like, if you sit there and you're doing the same thing, like, at some point it's all going to dry up. You know, you got to consistently be, I guess Matt Martelli says it best, you got to evolve or die, you know?
Exactly, totally. You have to reinvent and evolve, because nothing is the same too long and everything dims out. You know, there's the light for a little bit and then it's like, okay, you got to keep charging and figuring out how to make this bigger and better, or make in this direction to achieve this goal. And that's where you just have to, like, you know, a lot of people, they, you see social media, right? And you always put the great on there. But little do they see all the work behind it. You know, like, people don't see on my social media my paint business as much, because I don't really throw it out there. But yeah, it's like, you know, I have my racing, and that's only a small percentage of my time most of the time. And I'm always racing, but when I'm at home in my weekly days, it's full on work mode, you know, to try making the dream happen, because racing's my passion and working's what provides me to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's smart too. You've got a fallback, because we all know, like, at some point we all are, you know, I'm honestly living the dream as a professional race car driver. I've got amazing sponsors. A lot of it's tied to my media work and things like that, but you're the same way, but you've got your fallback plan, you know, with painting and stuff that can always be there, and you're growing that, you know. And I see now, like, a lot of professional supercross racers and things like that, they're starting that side business as, you know, as they're relevant. And they're kind of trying to grow that side business, so when the checks finally stop coming in supercross and motocross, you know, they've got a big fallback plan. I mean, Dale Jr. did that in NASCAR. He's got this whole huge media podcasting company that he started when he was relevant in NASCAR. And now that he's, you know, off the grid in NASCAR, he's got a whole media company that's making this, you know, huge amount of money for him. And I think, you know, I think that's crucial that, you know, athletes now, professional athletes in action sports and racing, do things like that, because, I mean, our shelf life, I hate to say it, but it seems like, you know, it's getting shorter and shorter. I mean, you look at a kid like Seth Quintero and the talent he's got, he's only 16. And, like, I hate to say it, but I'm, like, beyond over the hill. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, by racing standards, like, it's crazy, you know?
It is. It totally is. And that is something, as an athlete, you know, that will never last forever. You can't be at your tip top for, you know, your whole life. And so you do, you have to have fallback. And I think that's first. And then second is, being able to pursue what you like. And I think it makes it that much better too. Like, being able to race that truck now and know that I have my house paid off and I have my car payment taken care of and whatever. It's like, cool. I'm here racing, and just for the fact of loving it. Like, I'm here to do the best I could possibly do. And, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want to have to depend on racing to make my car payment or anything like that. And I'm grateful. I went through a hard time to figure it all out, but through it all, I figured it out. And I feel like I am in a pretty level place, and I'm not depending on racing for an income, but I would love to always get racing paid for. That's my goal.
Well, and I think that's key, like it, but you appreciate things so much more because you've had to earn it. You've gone through those struggles. And I actually had this conversation with somebody about a month ago on this young up and coming talent. And it was somebody that came from a wealthy family. And, you know, and I think the term was, you know, he's not engaged with anything that's going on, you know, and it's like he's super talented driver, but he just didn't quite care. And, you know,
yeah.
And I think it's because dad had, you know, always written a check. Now, don't get me wrong. If my dad wanted to write 7-figure checks for me to go racing, like, I would absolutely, like, bring it on, dad. But, you know, it's not happening. But I think, you know, somebody like that hasn't, you know, really had those struggles, like somebody like you and I, like, they're not going to value it. But I think everything you get, like, I know you on a personal level outside of this, and you and I have had some long conversations, and, like, you value every single thing that's given to you, whether it's, you know, a dollar part or, you know, a 5-6-figure salary, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And you have to, you know, like, these people are supporting your dream, and how could you not thank them, you know? And all the time I, like, grown up in the sport of motocross and then crossing over to going to Mexico, the fans are insane and they're so supportive. And that's what the coolest thing. And those people are the ones buying products of the people that are on your truck or on your vehicle or bike. And those logos, those people are representing, and they're wanting to buy from that because they're fans of you. And to support them, it means so much to them and yourself because you're helping out the whole industry. And a lot of times, like in motocross, I saw it quite a bit where you have these big name athletes and they would cold shoulder the fans. And I'm like, dude, that's why you're racing right there. That person's buying that product because of you. Like, give them the time of day because that will go very far and possibly even help you in the future.
Yeah, well, and I know you and I, like, I've been around Travis Pastrana, you know, quite a bit. I know you know Travis a little well, and he's the same way. Like, he came from very humble beginnings, you know, and he's become this global icon. But, like, he's one of those guys, like, every single fan, like, he will not walk away if there's still one person wanting an autograph. And, you know, like, I even watched, like, you this, especially this weekend, like, I was so impressed by it, and not just your run that we'll talk about, but after the fact, even today, like every single person that tagged you in a post, like you're sharing it to your stories. And one, I think that's great on your part, but two, I'm blown away by how many people are actually tagging you in their photos, Sarah. Like, I race and I get tagged in photos, but not to that magnitude. Like, it's crazy how many people are tagging you in their stuff.
Oh, it's nuts. Like, me and Erica are even talking about it. There was, like, a time, I'm pulling to get girly on you, but when we were out there racing, and I, like, almost wanted to, like, welt up in tears, not because we're doing well, but because every corner we went through, there was someone either, like, it's kind of funny because a lot of people down there blow us kisses, and I'm like, that is so cool and so crazy because they know it's us girls. They wouldn't be blowing kisses to a guy, and I just, like, the support is just overwhelming, like, and how many people are such fans and just supportive and, like, they want to see us do well. And every place we go down in Mexico is just insane. And we're so appreciative of it. And, yeah, it's pretty unreal actually seeing my phone after a race when we do well. I want to respond to each and every one, but it's, like, it's overwhelming sometimes, but I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, immediately after the race, I'm like, I so want to text Sarah right now. And then I'm like, I'm going to be wading through, like, 100 different text messages. So I'm like, I'll just chill out. I'll wait a day or two. We'll see if we can get her on air this week, you know. But, like, I mean, let's talk about the race because we haven't talked about that yet. But you were damn close at San Felipe, Sarah. And, you know, and I know you were damn close at this one. Like, to me, it's crazy, you know, how a lot of people want to know, you know, we always say, how fast is somebody that moves up through UTVs and that, how quick are they actually going to be? And, like, you know, and I've been around you, like, I've picked your brain on the UTV side to get faster and things like that. But, like, it's crazy how quick you've gotten. Obviously, you've got an amazing team behind you, but, man, I think with these last two races and how close they've been, I think whenever you do finally cross that finish line first, Sarah, it's going to even mean that much more because you've been so close for two races now.
I know. This is our third second place and our second one this year. And we're like, are you serious? This is such a tease. We just won that win. But we've been putting our heads down and, you know, like, the most random things happen. In San Felipe, we had to pit two more times than the first place person, and so that kind of put us down on time. And I think that's what cost us the second place because we finished, I think, in 4 or 6 minutes from the leader. And then in this race, we finished in 4 minutes from the leader, and we had a four-minute penalty from the speed zone, which, you know, it happens. And, it's pretty nuts because that is a long race to be that close at the finish line. And we moved in the first place pretty fast. We took off in second and third. We got to do side-by-side start in the short course. We got the whole shot, so we were in second. Passed for first at mile, I would say, 10 or 20. And then we're leading and got a flat at race mile 70. And we get out to change it, and our jack failed on us. We couldn't get the truck to lift up, and it wasn't taking any pressure. I could push it down with my hand. And so I was like, oh no, what are we going to do? So we had to drive 10 miles on a flat tire. We kept stopping at local pits to see if they had jacks. And honestly, at one point we pulled over and they seen we had a flat tire. So people started taking off our spare tires. And we're like, no, don't take them off unless we have a jack. And so that killed us sometimes too, but it was a wild ride, but we ended up making it through a pit on that flat, and it didn't take out any brake lines or anything. But it was a wild ride. And after that, we just put our heads down and we charged through the whole pack. They, I want to say pretty much our whole class passed us when that we had that issue and we had to just limp along. And then we ended up cruising and just picking off people and getting into second place. And we actually cut out a pit stop at the very end. We were doing fuel calculations as we were going. We were radioing between Geyser and my dad, and Erica was doing the math while we were in the truck at full pace because we wanted to make sure we wouldn't run out of gas if we skipped that last pit. And for some weird reason, we were getting more fuel mileage this race, which is awesome. And we could skip that last pit because we were hoping the guy in front of us had made a mistake or would, you know, have something happen where we could pass him. But we were just those 4 minutes off, and they ran a solid race, and they ran it all the way to the checkered, and so we ended up second.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching, you know, and it was like literally, it's funny because I wasn't even watching the trophy truck race, you know, on the tracker and all that. The only thing I was watching was 6100 this race. But like you had me so engaged with your run, you know, and I feel like, you know, you and Eric are, you know, really good friends of mine, you know, and it's so it's like I feel like I'm riding in the truck with you. Like you guys are struggling. I'm like, oh, no, like, you know, and I think but it's not just me. Like, I think there's like a whole handful of us like we're riding along with you in the truck and, you know. It was just is crazy, but how was the start of the race? You guys didn't have to go through that crazy silt bed that the trophy trucks did, right? They rerouted you from the start.
Yeah, but our team, so we have Justin Matney and you have Dolly Lopez and we have Clyde's truck, which Vanderway was driving. And so we're all on the same race radio. When we heard them going through it, we were like, oh my gosh, what is going on right now? There's a traffic jam. Like, there's total bottlenecks. They're like, girl, you're about to take off the line. Do not go this way. It's bad. Dolly's stuck. And so then we're listening to Kellen and Justin trying to figure out how to get back on course before they had rerouted anyone. And so me and Erica, I'm not even kidding you, we had Google Maps out and lead nav on our cell phones on the starting line, like a minute before taking off. Like, we had our phones out trying to figure out alternate ways. And we were actually prepared to take the exact line that they rerouted us to just to avoid that and take the penalties if we needed to, because it was just, it wasn't worth it to get stuck for an hour over a 10-minute VCP missing. So we were going to do that anyway. So it ended up working out and being great. But yeah, that start was brutal. That was wild.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk on the internet about it and things like that, you know, and it's, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword with Baja because we all know it's tough and there's these iconic silt beds, and any of us that have raced down there know, I don't think people understand what a silt bed is until you're actually, I mean, it's like quicksand. It'll swallow trucks whole. It's crazy. But like, I feel like, you know, Baja, that's part of it. But then, you know, like part of it is like that start, like you got to let things weed itself out before you get to something like that. You know, that's something you want at mile 100, not a mile 2, you know?
Exactly. And that bottleneck, if they would have kept it on course and you had to take that route, I guarantee there would have been 100 cars right there by the end of the start.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it goes to pre-running. I actually had somebody ask me, you know, and it's been a few years since I've raced in Baja, but they're like, how do you approach pre-running at something like the 500? I'm like, well, ideally you can at least go around, you know, twice. Once it's the once over, the second time you're actually kind of fine tuning everything. But I said, you know, the main thing is like, we all know, and you can see, even if there's not a silt bed there, we all kind of have an idea where they're going to pop up, you know? And so it's like, literally, I know, like when I pre-run Baja, I will get out in the known spots where, you know, this is going to turn to crap. And, you know, you get out, you literally will walk and you pre-run like the alternate lines, knowing that the race course is going to be garbage come race day and, you know, and things like that. And I know you and Erica spent a ton of time down there. I mean, are you guys doing the same thing? How are you approaching stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Me and Erica. So Erica, we're super critical on our notes. Like, we go through our first time, we're going so slow because we mark every little thing we possibly can. And we try to do the whole course or, you know, at least the sections if we're running low on time that we're least confident in at least twice. But if we can do them 3 or 4 times, we'll do it if we have the time. But yeah, definitely. If there's a section that we are not comfortable with, like on that start, we had pre-ran it 4 times, I want to say, or was it 3? And I had that razor and I was mowing down bushes. I was trying to find a line, whichever way I could make one or anything possible. And around that start, besides the road they rerouted us on, there was no way around it. Like, we tried everything. And in our trucks, we would have just got stuck trying to even take the alternate line, trying to get back on course. So it was kind of like, well, we don't really know what's going to happen here, and we don't really know what could happen besides just taking that road. And that's really your only way out, and just take the penalty. But them changing it, it made that penalty not a problem because there isn't a penalty anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I just mow down bushes and make climbs.
Well, and you know, it's funny too, because I've been in spots in Baja where it's like, you're in these silt beds, and you, like, some of them sneak up on you too. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, you don't think it's going to be that bad. And then it, you know, it's just like, oh wow, you get to it. And it's just like, you can't stop. You can't see, like, yeah. you know, you're blind, and it's like, literally you're just standing on the gas, and like, you're going through bushes, mowing down whatever, you know, it's completely blind. It's so chaotic. And you know, it's like, and you, at certain points, you don't even know where you're at. You're just like, as long as the truck's moving forward and I don't drive off a cliff, like, we're good, you know? And I think it's like, and
that's all we do is we'll mark the like dangers. We're like, okay, there's a silt bed. Okay, what could really take us out if we get crazy in the silt bed? And we'll put dangers or cliffs or whatever. But yeah, you're in a big heavy two-wheel drive truck. You can't just stop. And in those silt beds, you can't see one thing. Like, there's a time where I couldn't even see my hand if I put it right in front of my eyes. Like, it's so brutal. And you're just hoping that no one is stuck in there. And no one is out of their car as well, because you're coming in, not slowing down. You're going to hit them no matter what. So we have had that happen, and thank God everyone was in their car, because I would have been so devastated if someone was outside and hurt. Yeah. That's where you just have to be smart, because me and Erica, we'll stay in our truck completely until we know there is no one absolutely coming for a long time, because it can get very dangerous fast and still.
Yeah, no, and that's the truth. And even if you get off track, like, somebody can come mowing through the bushes and not see you. And like you said, like, it's like you actually have to stay there in your truck stuck until like three or four trucks get stuck behind you. And then, you know, you've got a little bit of a buffer where they're going to run into the last truck. So then you can actually get out and dig. It's like, it's this whole crazy process that I don't think people understand about silt beds in Mexico.
Oh, not at all. And me and Erica, we have like in sections like that, we have alternate lines. So we usually have line like our first choice line, and then second choice line, or we have the second choice as our first choice, or we have a line just to pass, or we have a line where we'll miss the VCP just to get away from bottlenecks or get out of silt just in case we need it. If it's going to be like a 2-hour wait somewhere, it's just, sometimes it's just not worth it. And you have to calculate that. And that's where the smart of racing, desert racing, you kind of have, and make the right decisions as you go. And that's what I love about Baja, though. Like, it's not a for sure thing, and nothing is for sure. And you got to have your wits about you, and you have to have the skills about you just to be able to make corrections right away, because things change so fast.
Yeah. See, and I was lucky, like, when I got my start, it was right at the tail end of like what I want to call the Wild West of Baja. Like, my first time at the 500, they still didn't have speed limits on the highway. So here we are at like 130 miles an hour sliding around blind corners with oncoming traffic and stuff like that. And honestly, I don't ever want to do that again. And anybody that raced in that era, they don't want to do that again either, because I mean, it was just like Death Race 2000. But on the flip side, like, you know, then they instituted the speed limits, and we got these little black boxes that took literally 2 weeks to download after the race and things like that. But the thing was, is like, then, you know, at that point, like, it was still kind of open, where if there was five or six lines, like, there weren't virtual checkpoints. Like, you could, you know, as long as you hit the certain checkpoints, the physical checkpoints, you could do whatever the hell you wanted in between them. So then that was where it got creative, where you could really go, and pre-running was crucial, especially in like San Felipe, you know, because you could be literally a mile away on some crazy line, you know, because you found it and it was smooth. And like, I was lucky that I got to race in that. Like, I think somebody like you and the homework you and Erica put in, like, you would so thrive in like that atmosphere where, you know, you didn't have these virtual checkpoints and God wasn't always looking over your shoulder. So you could be a little liberal with your lines, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. The VCPs keep you honest, though. Like, me and Erica, like, there's times when there's a VCP and we're like, okay, this is kind of hard to get to. Like, this is going to be a difficult one. But yet we're both like, you know what? But we appreciate it. We like it because it keeps everyone fair, and it comes down to your driving more than anything, Ben. And that's what we appreciate. So we've actually talked about it. We were talking about it with Joey and Craig at this last race, and how maybe it would be cool if they released VCPs like the morning, like on the starting line even.
Yeah.
So you had to do all the pre-running, or you just had to pre-run and stay on course just because you didn't know better, you know?
Yeah.
And it could keep it even more fair.
Yeah, it would be kind of almost like a blind thing, you know? That's a good idea, though. That would actually – that'd be kind of rad. You know, I think
– Yeah, it would be.
You know, well, and honestly, we know there's teams that go down there and they'll run that course 5-6 times, and there's somebody like you that can do it one or two, you know, and I think it evens that playing field because, you know, as much as we'd all love to go and spend 3 weeks in Baja pre-running, like for 90% of us, it's not possible, you know?
Yeah, you have to take off work and all this stuff, you know, it gets difficult on everyone, but if you want to do well, you kind of have to put in that homework. But yeah, if they did that, release VCPs like the morning of, you have no choice but to either you have done crazy amounts of pre-running to have every ultimate line you possibly might want to have, or you just, it's a fair game for someone who didn't get to pre-run.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about Baja, I know like, you know, in this program, I think I was probably one of the first people to kind of brought in the loop on this whole, you know, program with RPM, you know, and when it started and things like that. And I know you told me like, Jimmy, I want to do Baja. You know, you were like, I really, really want to race the Score Series. I want to race in Mexico. That being said, are we going to see you at like Vegas, Torino, or in any of the stateside races this year? I mean, what's the plans? I know we saw you in the Razor at Hammers. I mean, are we going to see you shredding Lake Elsinore GP in your Razor? Like, what's the racing plans for Sarah Price this year?
Man, mainly my focus is on Baja and on the TT spec. We did race the Mint, and we were doing really well there too, but we had a driveline shear off on us, but that ended our race because the bolts are stuck in the yoke that connects to the trans. But, you know, I think Baja is kind of it for us this year. And next year, I'm always going to be at King of the Hammers. I just absolutely love that race. And my goal would be to possibly be there in a truck. That would be, oh my gosh, that'd be insane to be able to race a truck there. And, you know, I really, my goal is to get a chance in the trophy truck one of these days in the future. I really just want to try it out and see how I could do in it and race it side by side. And then, you know, I'm really happy with our truck and RPM and Geyser Brothers and Boral Parts and BFG, all these companies that come on board to help us with our spec program. It's really the dream team, and the spec class is now becoming one of the most competitive elite classes there is. Like, we had more trucks in our spec class than we did in the UTV classes. So that was pretty impressive because those are usually the biggest classes.
Yeah, well, and I think too, like, I mean, you were the really good team to be able to move up because they have all these trucks, you know, and say a Baja 1000, if you're not, you know, you're in it in the points this year, but if for some odd reason you weren't in it in the points, they'd be like, yeah, we're not going to run. You don't have a shot at the championship, but hey, we're going to let you drive half the 1000 with, you know, so-and-so in the trophy truck or something. So I think you're like in the right spot there, but you talked about 6100, in Best in the Desert, 6100, Spec TT and Score, but I look at that and it's almost – trophy truck has got so crazy, crazy expensive in the last 3 to 5 years. Like, I mean, just it's madness the amount of money, you know, that's going into trophy truck, like to the point where I see it regressing like it did in the early 2000s. And we're going to get less and less entries because the money's just getting crazy. But with all that said, I see Spec TT continuing to grow. Like, I think at some point we're going to see like 80 entries in that class just because trophy truck has become so unattainable.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, we were talking with our team after the race. I was, you know, saying how cool it is and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, you know what? Your class is it. Like, they're like, that's what it is right now. Unless you're going to have an all-wheel drive trophy truck, that's where the evolution's kind of going. And I still don't think everyone's perfected the all-wheel drive because they still have quite a bit of failures with them. But that is going to be the future of trophy trucks is if and when they can fully, you know, perfect that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I've had Well, just recently, I mean, Ryan Arciero, Justin Lofton on this on the podcast, and like, you know, that's the number one question. What do you think? And all the conversation revolves around all-wheel drive, you know. And I think, with what Matney and Geyser Brothers did with their truck, and I've heard crazy numbers about the amount of money that Bryce has in his new all-wheel drive truck, and you know, Mason's got a solid product that's coming out, and you know, and it's just. Like, I don't know. I think you're right. Like, I look at the cost to do that, and, you know, I look at cost of trophy truck spec and the value and the ROI, and I start looking at things like that, and I'm like, you know, like, I've been looking. It's like, what's next for me? And I've kind of haven't built a new truck just solely because I wanted to see what's going on in the industry and where things are headed, and I'm looking at it going, like, today, if I had to go and write somebody a check for a new truck, it would be a spec TT. I don't think it would be a trophy truck, mainly because I honestly can't write checks like that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it's a competitive class. Like, you know, you're getting to – we have quite a bit of horsepower still too. Like, we don't get the top speed, but we're still – you know, it's a driver's class, and I absolutely love it because it comes down to you doing your homework and you being a good driver, and it's a fair game for everyone, and you just got to be smart.
Yeah. So let's talk about King of the Hammers real quick, because I know you said, you know, that's one of your favorites, and, you know, you've had some really, really good runs there. And I think back to when you were running, what was it? You were running the, was it a Kawasaki? What was it? Not a mule. What the heck were you running?
Terex.
Yeah. I wanted to say mule for some odd reason, but I know you and Erica just went out and had fun in that thing. But now, like, you've become a force there. But I think, like, I've actually got a Turbo S. We're in the process of building into a Hammers car for me next year. And I look at it, I'm just like, I feel like you've done it right. Like, you got to go in and just do the first year, and you just have to compete and just figure it out, see how things work, see how the event runs, figure out the rocks. And it's like, after the first year, then it's like, all right, then we're here to race. Like, I don't know anybody their first year that it just goes in. And Menzies had a really good run this year in his first, you know, in his first try. And I think he got like seventh or eighth, but like, it's a tough, tough event to just come in, you know, cold turkey and do.
Oh, it's so brutal. And even I, like, this last year, I made the mistake. I was so excited to, like, get back in side-by-side and stuff that I was going 95 in the lake bed, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this thing goes fast. And I look at Erica, and there goes the belt. I was like, oh, I need to calm myself down. I'm getting too excited, and I forget about these belt things.
Yeah, well, that's our car. We don't have a limiter in our car. I'll do that. Like, it's crazy. I think we've had it at 97 miles an hour before, but it's like, you watch that belt temp gauge, and that thing is like a ticking time bomb when you're running that fast.
Yeah, it totally is. And so that's one of the things, the King of the Hammers, you have to have patience because you have your car set up for the rock. So when you go into a desert section, you got to be smart, and you can't go very fast just to save your vehicle before you get into the rocks, and that's where the race is won. And it's brutal on your vehicle. So it's survival and picking the right lines and, you know, not getting stuck in places. And that's really hard to do because you're going off ledges that are two times the size of your car. it's just such an adventure. I absolutely love that race. We've never had a podium in it, but we finished it now two times. And just the finish is an accomplishment in itself. And hey, I keep coming back, even though we aren't doing the best, but we love it. We're always up front at some point, but never end up staying there. So this next year, hopefully that's the case, so we can just stay there.
No, I totally get that. You know, it's one of those, like, you know, talking about going into it, I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, this was a call I was going to save for later on in the year. But I'm like, I really need to call Sarah and go and go pre-running with you, because I just need to get in the rocks. And I need to get me and my co-driver just to follow you and Eric around in your Razor and just go out there and have fun for a weekend, because I literally have no idea what I'm getting into. It's like, I need coached for this.
Yeah, Reed Nordine is who coached us, and honestly, he taught us the ways of it, and it's just a whole new way of looking at driving something. Usually racing desert or short course or anything like that, we avoid rocks, but rocks are actually your friend in King of the Hammers because they're giving you clearance, and it helped me tremendously in desert racing. Like at this last 250, we had to go through Matomi Wash, and there's some big rocks, and you kind of have to do some crawling, and we didn't have any issues there. And I swear it's because of the time I spent at King of the Hammers learning how to use rocks as a benefit. And it's kind of like looking at motocross compared to supercross. Like when you do your first week of riding supercross, you're looking at this little bump and you're like, how in the heck is that little bump supposed to get me that far to land this double or triple? And then by a week of riding it, you're like, oh, for sure, I got that. That's easy. Or this and that. You know, it's just like, it's an alternate way of thinking about things. And it's just, it's so awesome. And it's great to learn. I feel like learning all disciplines you possibly can, or driving anything or riding anything, can only help you everywhere.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny too, like you say that, and I tell people that all the time. Like, I love going even to like a K1 speed, you know, and like just doing karts for an evening, you know. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's just fun. And I'm like, no, but you can actually learn stuff in those. And I know I go up to Dirtfish Rally School, you know, a couple times a year, and being in an all-wheel drive rally car, like, I can take stuff and apply it to the UTVs or to the trophy truck. And, like, I think, you know, you and what you've been able to do, like, with the hill climbs with Hoonigan and stuff like that, like, I think there's something when you put yourselves in these positions, like, there's something we can always take and apply to something else, you know?
Oh, 100%. And actually, I learned rally notes at that hill climb with Hoonigan in our Fiat, and we now use that note system in our off-road truck. We dummy it down a teeny bit, but not very much. But we still use rally notes when we're racing a trophy truck.
Speaking of Mount Washington, I know, I think it's next year. They already reached out to me. I think we're like a year away from it. And I actually talked to Matt Martelli at one point, but I want to take a razor up there and do this, Sarah. I think you and I need to like ship a couple razors to the East Coast and just go and like have fun at Mount Washington here next year.
Oh, I totally have plans to make a street racer. I'm so ready for it. It's going to be probably my King of the Hammers car. It's going to turn into a stunt car because it's already had quite a bit of beating on it just from being in King of the Hammers. And, yeah, I want to go crazy with a racer. I think it would be a blast.
Yeah, that's – I want to – when I know, didn't IMG at one point, they built like a single seat, like a drift razor, right, with a handbrake and stuff like that. I think, you know, like I'm seeing that, but I'm like, man, what you could do now with these turbocharged engines, and like I'm like, oh, we could go so next level on one of these.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, IMG had that – it was a 1,000 they used – or no, was it 1,000?
I can't remember.
Yeah,
was it 900 or 1,000? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but – yeah, it was pretty cool, but they never had the right tires on it. They were too grippy, so it was really hard for it. But if you could put some, like, decent slicks on it and put a handbrake in it, oh, lower it down, that thing would be a monster.
Yeah, I'm saying it already. We just need to do, like, a couple of builds, like, side by side, have, like, twins, and let's go to Mount Washington next year. Let's just do it.
Oh, I'm so down. That'd be so much fun. That was gnarly, though. Mount Washington is gnarly. You're, like, looking down the cliff, and you're like, oh, my gosh, if I go down this thing, for sure, there's no way you're living.
Yeah. No, well, but it's one of those, like, going up the top. You know what blew me away about the whole thing? Because you and I spent, you know, a couple days together up there. You know it's legit when we're down at the bottom in like shorts and a t-shirt and sweating, and you get up to the top, and it was literally like, get out your parka, freezing cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was gnarly.
It is crazy up there. And then you have a cloud cover and you can't really see much. And it is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it was funny, like all the people that start at the bottom, they go to the top and they don't have jackets. And, you know, they get up to the top and then they're like, and then, you know, it gets closed off because everybody's doing their runs. And then they're stuck up there with no jackets. So they're running into that gift shop buying like the most random sweatshirts, I Heart Mount Washington, and just whatever's in there that they can buy to keep warm. And like, I thought it was absolutely hilarious because people were walking around in just the most hideous sweatshirts, but it was like all they could get to stay warm.
I know, and because it's like the most extreme weather or something like that. It has like the most documented extreme weather up there or something like that, if I remember right.
Yeah, something gnarly like that. But yeah, I don't know. So you got a little bit of a breather here then, huh? Baja's over, you know, and you're not back in the car until what, the Baja 400, right?
400, yeah. Yeah, I have a little bit of a break. I have one of my best friend's wedding, so I'm going to do the whole actually, it's Jamie Rutley and Jimmy Dakota.
Yeah.
They're getting married, so he's from Supercross right now. But, yeah, it's just working and working on already next year, trying to put everything together and start getting the ball rolling to keep the dream living and keep racing and you know, stunts have been picking up a lot, so I've been working a lot behind the wheel, just being a precision driver and stunt driver. But, just expanding the business and recruiting more girls that are in the racing industry, because they're rad and they have a good platform to, you know, be dedicated to something. And, I don't know, just, there's always things going on. We're always busy around here. There's never a day we're not busy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned, too, and I think a lot of people don't get that about sponsorship. And, you said you're already trying to solidify things for next year. And I think a lot of people, like, they don't think that early, you know. And I think, like, people like you and I, like, legit, I'm sitting in meetings, you know, flying around the country having meetings in regards to 2020 already, because, like, literally by midsummer, the real budget's kind of set. And, you know, and then they've got a little bit of budget, you know, here and there, where if you come in late and it's the right person, they can make something happen. But I don't think a lot of people realize, like, about the time we get our deal finished for 2020, which is going to be right, you know, towards later this year, you know, it's like we're immediately like, all right, so let's talk about 2021. Like, it's a nonstop process, Sarah.
It is. It is nonstop. Like, I was on the line and I was talking to Robbie Pierce, and he's like, hey, the Impact's already getting stuff ready for next year. Like, get in there. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, well, time to get the ball rolling again. It is. It's a never-ending thing. But, you know, hopefully one day my business will do well enough to where, you know, I won't have to rely so much on sponsorship and have to do all that and just keep, you know, my family close and the people that have always just supported me from the very beginning and not depend on a dollar amount so much. But we aren't there yet.
Yeah. Here's hoping we can all get there at some point, right? You know, it would be nice to be one of those just flying in a private jet and just land and be like, yeah, I'll jump in there with my blank race suit and my blank truck and just not worry about anything.
Yeah. But no, it's really cool to have sponsors that are appreciative. And, you know, like, all the people that honestly are a part of my program are so just, they're easy and they trust me and they know I'm going to do a good job for them because I put so much heart and care into it. So it makes it nice that you can have that trust, because if you don't and you're not doing your obligations, then that's when it becomes something a little bit more difficult. But in this case, you know, you work hard and you'll get a good return on everything.
Yeah, well, and I think you're kind of like me. Like, all your partners, like, they're companies you believe in, they're people you believe in. It makes it really easy, and it's an authentic relationship. And mine are the same way. Like, and like earlier this year, I had a company that wanted to come on board with some money, and it honestly, it just didn't make sense. And I told them, I'm like, I can't do right by you guys. Like, this is a bad investment on your end. And they're like, they wanted to spend money. And I'm like, look, I'm like, I would rather be upfront with you and tell you I can't deliver. And I said, us still be friendly, than me taking your money and not being able to deliver on what you want. You know what I mean? And then you be upset a year from now. And they looked at me and they're like, we've never had somebody turn us down when we're waving money in front of them. And I said, yeah, but I said, I value you and what you bring to the table enough that I can tell you, I just physically, it's not going to work. And, you know, but I see you as somebody that way, like the people that you're around and the partners you have, it's, you know, you believe in their product and, you know, you'll go to war for them and they'll go to war for you.
Exactly. And you truly do. You have to believe in everything that you represent. And if you don't, then that's when you start having issues, because you're doing it for the wrong reasons, or, you know, you're doing it for just the money. And it's showing that, you know, and it's not about that. It's about doing it for what you love of it. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have RPM, who provides me with such an amazing program. And then also the sponsors that have come on board this year. But it doesn't get really, I'm in a great position and I'm thankful for every person that is involved in my program, because without them, I wouldn't be able to continue it or have a good time in doing it alongside all them as well. You know, like even, you know, for the parts, like we saw Joey and Craig down there and Craig won the championship. Like, how cool is that to be racing, the same race as basically, your title sponsor, and they end up winning the Baja 500. He took the win in the UTV class, and, you know, I couldn't have been more stoked. Like, we heard he was doing well, so we go ahead and pulled over after our start, and we waited for him to come across the finish line to support our fellow Toro Parts family.
Yeah, no,
and it's about things like that. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, no, that was an amazing run, and, like, I haven't talked to Craig since the race, and I was going to reach out to him because – like, man, Craig is ridiculously fast. He's such a good driver. And, like he's had some struggles the past year or two, and nobody doubts how quick he is, and like luck just hasn't been on his side at all. And finally, I feel like it finally, you know, a little luck went Craig's way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he said he's had like a few hard years, especially with that new car. He just had issues driving it hard or driving it, you know, as cautious as he possibly can. And it finally all came together. And I couldn't think of a better race that it could have came together for, because now that they're a Baja 500 champion, and that's just crazy and gnarly in itself, and so much respect.
Yeah, it's huge to win Baja. It doesn't matter, you know, what year or what class. Like, you win Baja 500 or Baja 1000, like, it's a big deal, just hands down. You know, you can't – it's so, so tough to do.
Yeah, it is. And it goes into the whole team. Like, it's not just you as a driver, because you got to have pits everywhere, and you're covering so much ground to try figuring it all out to make it to the finish line, that first car. And, you know, these classes are getting so competitive anymore. You know, between TT and TT Spec and UTV, those are by far the three top competitive classes in score right now.
Yeah, well, and I had people, like, they're like, you've got a trophy truck, you only run it once or twice a year, and you're running Pro Turbo UTV. They're like, why, don't you see this as a step backwards? I'm like, no. I'm like, have you seen how competitive Pro Turbo UTV is? Like, it's just as hard to win there as it is trophy truck. Like, hands down, like,
yeah,
it's not easy. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, you got some really good talent. And then same thing with TT Spec. Like, you know, I say all three of them, you can interchange drivers in any which way. Like, you throw Bryce Menzies in a Pro Turbo UTV or Rob Mack, they're going to have the same problems anybody else does. It's not like they're going to walk away with a race. It's that hard, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, all three of those classes, you can swap all the classes. You can put the UTV drivers in the trophy truck classes and have Andy McMillan race a UTV instead, and, you know, whoever in a trophy truck, and they will definitely be still working as hard as they can trying to get that win.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, it was fun catching up. I know finally able to catch up with you for, I don't know, I literally had no notes when we went into this interview, and I don't know what we've talked about here for 50 minutes, but I'm sure it's good stuff, right?
How it always works out. You just get on and talk, and
yeah,
that's something good to say.
That was it. I was like, oh, Sarah, I don't need notes for this one. We'll just talk.
Oh, it's always great catching up and getting to see what's going on in Jim's world.
Yeah, no, always fun, Sarah. Thank you for the time, and we definitely need to get together soon.
I'm down. Let me know when you're in town.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a ride. Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount. And that's all we've got for this week on the 4 Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Make sure and check us out once again on the web, downanddirtyshow.com. Hit that subscribe link over there on iTunes to both the Down and Dirty shows that are on the same link there on iTunes. And leave a rating or review while you're there. Follow me. It's at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media, also at Daily Media and at Down and Dirty Show. And, you know, love to get your feedback on guests, suggestions, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, and anything else you want to throw at me. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back with another edition of the Full Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition powered by Polaris Razor next week right here.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.